In today's workplace, the average professional checks email 74 times daily and switches tasks every 3 minutes. Yet amid this frenzy of shallow activity, Cal Newport, a computer science professor who publishes groundbreaking research while never working past 5:30 p.m., presents a revolutionary insight. The ability to focus without distraction is becoming increasingly rare precisely as it becomes increasingly valuable. This isn't just about productivity, it's about intellectual warfare in a world that constantly steals your attention. Deep work, professional activities performed in a state of distraction-free concentration, pushes your cognitive capabilities to their limits and creates new value that's hard to replicate. Why does Bill Gates retreat to a cabin in the woods twice yearly? The same reason you should carve out space for deep work. It's the superpower of the modern economy. Our economy increasingly rewards those who can master complex systems and deliver exceptional results. Consider Nate Silver, whose sophisticated statistical models cut through political noise to provide accurate predictions. Or David Heinemeier Hansson, whose Ruby on Rails framework powers countless websites. This transformation benefits three groups: high-skilled workers who effectively navigate complex data, superstars who dominate winner-take-all markets, and capital owners who invest in breakthrough technologies. To thrive, you need two abilities: quickly mastering difficult concepts and producing at an elite level. Neither skill is innate. Both are cultivated through deep work. Remember, high-quality work equals time spent times intensity of focus. Despite its growing value, deep work is disappearing from our professional lives. Open offices prioritize immediate accessibility over focused thought. Instant messaging creates constant interruptions. Why does this contradiction persist? First, there's a metric black hole. The impact of deep work is difficult to measure precisely. When Atlantic Media calculated that employees spent over $1 million worth of time annually on email, it highlighted how easily we can measure shallow work. Second, we follow the path of least resistance, gravitating toward whatever's easiest in the moment. Third, in the absence of clear productivity metrics, we substitute busyness as a proxy for value. When Marissa Meyer eliminated remote work at Yahoo, citing the need for physical presence, she exemplified this mindset. The good news? This trend creates a strategic opportunity. As deep work becomes rarer, those who cultivate this skill gain a significant competitive advantage. Deep work offers profound psychological rewards, exemplified by master blacksmith Rick Furrer, who finds fulfillment through intense concentration in crafting pattern-welded swords. This aligns with neurological research. As Winifred Gallagher noted, our experience is shaped by what we attend to. The concept of flow, studied by Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, reveals that people experience greater satisfaction during deep concentration than relaxation. We are becoming Homo sapiens depensis, finding our greatest meaning in challenging, focused work. To implement deep work, choose from four approaches: the monastic philosophy, eliminating shallow tasks completely; the bimodal philosophy, alternating between deep isolation and normal engagement; the rhythmic philosophy, scheduling regular deep work; or the journalistic philosophy, fitting deep work into available gaps. Support your chosen approach with specific rituals. Designate a workspace, set clear rules, and ensure proper support. Consider dramatic commitments like J.K. Rowling's hotel stays or Bill Gates's Think Weeks to reinforce your dedication. Just as athletes condition their bodies, knowledge workers must systematically train their minds to concentrate. Most people approach distraction backward, treating focus as the exception rather than the rule. Instead, schedule specific times for internet use, perhaps 2 30-minute blocks daily, and maintain strict offline periods otherwise. When you feel the urge to check something online during scheduled offline time, wait 5 to 10 minutes before giving in, gradually increasing this delay. This reconditions your mind to tolerate boredom and uncertainty. try Roosevelt Dashes, named after Theodore's intense study sessions at Harvard set aggressive but achievable deadlines for deep work tasks, creating a state of focused urgency. Practice productive meditation by focusing on a single professional problem while engaged in physical but mentally undemanding activities like walking. When your mind wanders, gently bring it back to the problem. Memory training offers another avenue for developing concentration. Techniques like the Memory Palace strengthen your ability to maintain sustained attention. Start by memorizing a deck of cards or a list of random words, gradually increasing complexity as your skills improve. Track your progress with a log of focus sessions, noting duration and quality, and celebrate small wins along the way. Social media and digital distractions require careful evaluation based on their actual contribution to your goals. Most people follow the any-benefit approach, justifying a tool's use if they can identify even the smallest benefit. Instead, embrace the craftsman approach, strategically adopting only tools whose positive impacts substantially outweigh their negative effects. The average person spends 2 to 3 hours daily on social platforms, roughly 45 days per year that could be redirected toward deep work or meaningful relationships. Apply the 80-20 rule to your digital life, identifying the core 20% of factors that determine 80% of your success. Try this experiment. Quit social media for 30 days without announcing your departure. Afterward, ask yourself, would the last month have been notably better if I had used this service? Did people care that I wasn't using it? If the answer to both is no, quit permanently. Beyond social media, be intentional about all internet use. Structure your leisure time around high-quality activities that require skill and engagement, learning an instrument, reading challenging books, practicing a craft, or having meaningful conversations. The goal isn't digital asceticism, but thoughtful curation of your tools. Even if you can't eliminate shallow work entirely, you can dramatically reduce it. Start by scheduling every minute of your workday. This doesn't mean becoming rigid. You'll often revise your schedule, but it forces intentionality about how you spend time. Quantify the depth of each activity by asking how long it would take to train a smart recent graduate to do this task. If the answer is not long, it's likely shallow work that doesn't leverage your specialized skills. Ask your boss for a shallow work budget, a specific percentage of your time for administrative tasks. Most knowledge workers should aim to spend no more than 30-50% on shallow activities. Adopt fixed schedule productivity by setting a firm end to your workday, perhaps 5:30 p.m. This constraint forces deliberate choices about your limited time and often leads to greater overall productivity. Finally, become harder to reach. Make people who email you do more work through sender filters or specific contact instructions. When responding to emails, process them fully rather than sending quick replies that create more back and forth. And perhaps most controversially, don't respond to all emails. Focus only on those where a response truly matters.